begin with a few odd things. Today, this is our new series, Glory Days. We're supposed to live like we're already there, living our promised land life now. And so I give you a couple things that might sort of surprise you. Next thing, I begin with somebody that you've probably never known. I don't think I broke bad and like country. I still not too fond of country music. But anyway, I'm sorry, there's a few songs I like. But and you click on that bottom song down there by a guy that I'll play a minute or so of a song just to show you this. I'm sorry. Andy's keeping me on track here. But these are my glory days. Say this with me. These days are glory days. Your past is past. Your future is bright. God's promises are true. His word is sure. Doesn't change. Next thing. With God as your helper, you will be all He wants you to be. What else? Do all He wants you to do. Receive all He wants you to receive. These days are glory days. We're sort of like the spies that go into Canaan, only we're not going to say 10 said bad, 2 said good. We're all going to say good. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And he play a minute of this song or so, and then I'll ask you something. The best is yet to come. I just want to give you a minute will do, and then I'm going to ask you if you've ever heard of this person. Y'all glad to be here, Jeff?
Yes. Amen.
God's got something. I mean, I'm excited. I mean, you can click it up there if you want to, Andy. It's all right.
I found peace of mind. I'm feeling good again. On the other side, back among the living. In a cloud in the sky, all my tears have been cried. I can finally say, baby, baby, stay right where you are. I like it this way, it's good for my heart.
Thank you, Andy. That's good. Anybody ever heard that song before? Three country fans in here. No, I'm just kidding. What's that guy's name? I never heard of him. It's in this book. I would have still not heard of him. Don't weep now. Jimmy Wayne is that guy's name. Jimmy Wayne. Never knew his daddy. His mom spent more time in prison than out of prison. When he was 12 years old, she was released from jail, took up with a troublemaker. They loaded Jimmy into the back seat of an old Delta 88, and for a year that car was his home. No promised land for Jimmy. Back seat of a Delta 88. It had bench seats and smelled like body odor, remembers Jimmy later. They drove from city to city avoiding the police, on the run, in a Delta 88. After miles of drifting, they dumped Jimmy in the parking lot at Pensacola, Florida bus station, then drove off and left him. He was 13. 13 years old, he had no home, no future, no provision. One day, while wandering through a neighborhood, he spied an older man who was at work, in a garage, wood shop. This older man had a wood shop in his garage. Jimmy comes by, 13, looks at him, and he asks him. He approached the elderly gentleman and asked this man, "Do you have any work?" The carpenter sized up the boy, assessed him to be homeless. Didn't say that, but decided to give him a chance. The man introduced himself as Russell. He called for his wife, Bee, to come to the garage, and they showed Jimmy the lawnmower and how to operate it. For several weeks, Jimmy cut the couple's grass, survived on the $20 they paid him each week. And after some time, Bee asked Jimmy where he lived. And at first, he was afraid, so he lied. He was afraid that she wouldn't care about him anymore. I mean, he was afraid that they wouldn't let a homeless boy work around their home. But finally, she convinced him to tell the truth, and when he did, the couple decided to do something. They took him in. They gave him his own bedroom, bathroom, and place at the dinner table. The home was like heaven to Jimmy. He took a hot bath and ate hot meals. He even sat with the family in the living room and watched television in the evenings. Still, in spite of their kindness, Jimmy refused to unpack his bag. He had been turned away so many times before that he had learned to be weary and wiry. And so his bag was packed. He'd been turned away so many times, he just didn't want the disappointment again. For 4 days, his plastic bag sat on the floor, full of clothes, ready to be snatched up when Bee and Russell changed their minds and kicked him out. He was in the house, but not really in the house. He was under the roof, but not under the promise. He was with his family, but didn't behave like a family member. Russell eventually convinced Jimmy to unpack and move in. It took several days, a dozen or so hot meals, and more than one heart-to-heart conversation, but Russell persuaded Jimmy to trust them to care for him. And so he finally did. I never heard of Jimmy Wayne. And I looked up country music, and he sang that, "Baby, baby, stay." Yeah, I got that one. And then he's got one called Paper Angels, which is touching. But I looked down through it, he's got about 10 songs. They started posting a few comments. One person said, "You ought to really be proud of this guy if you would know him, because he had a rough upbringing. He used to work for an elderly couple that I know who paid him $20, so they actually backed up the story I just read. And they said he's an amazing individual right now. So Max even writes that Jimmy Wayne become a country music star. And yet he probably lived out of a trash can when he was 12. Left at a bus station. But see, Jimmy's a little bit like us in that we sometimes, even though we want to believe that God loves us, and He does, want to eat a hot meal at the table of Jesus, amen, but we don't unpack our bags because we're so afraid this is too good to what? God can't have a home in heaven for me. He doesn't know who I am. He does know who you are. Got a home for you anyway. Well, maybe I'll go back to the old lifestyle. You can't. You know, God knows that we can sometimes drift back the way we used to be. Why do you think He took the Israelites to the Jordan River and crossed it at what stage? Flood stage. They couldn't go back. They'd drown going back. Now, sometimes we should do that to me. You know, if you're ever tempted to go back, like, oh, it's gone. Well, that's what I've encouraged kids to do at camp. Now, you're not a teen, but I'm going to treat you like one. I'll speak to teens sometimes, and some boy will come up and say, you know, I have trouble with this and that. And next thing I know, he reminds me a little bit of me. See, when I was in high school, got out and went to college, I stayed at a trailer and took care of my dad's laundromat, and my friends would sometimes come in and stop in, and we didn't get drunk, we didn't carry on, we didn't do heroin, you know, I'm thankful. But you know what some of them would do, though? They would occasionally bring by a Playboy magazine or something, and they knew they couldn't take it home, so they'd leave it there. Did I argue with that? No. So I'd keep it there, hide it, and next thing I know, there was a couple there, and then there's three or four there. And then I went to a camp one weekend. Remember what I said? I used to this, but now I came back from that camp, and Jesus got a hold of me and said, "You're drifting, and you're going right back. It's so sinful. It's need to." How could you be tempted not to look at stuff like that? Throw it away. So guess what? House cleaning. Got right with Jesus. And then my friends come in. "Hey, where's the magazines?" "Yeah, they're where they belong." "Oh, good. In the trash." What? You throw away those?
Yep. I'm living for Jesus now.
You okay? Never been better. Okay. I had one of my friends actually say this one time. He said, that's okay for you, but not me. Not yet. I said, that's okay. Thank you. Thanks for respecting me. Clean house. Throw away the stuff you need. You guys are going to go back to the old way of life. No, you won't. By the way, the Red Sea, same example. Parts of Red Sea, they go across, he closes it. They can't get back. Goes across the Jordan, you can't get back. If you got a Bible, it's Joshua chapter 3. This is the thing we get to cross. And here my message is really simple sort of today. It's this. You got to come to a point in your life that you decide to do this right here. We're going to do two things as we enjoy our walk with God in this experience in our glory days. You got to come to two decisions in your life. Everybody's got a story. And here's what two things you get to do. You get to cross a river. That means we're going to start being serious about God. And we're going to do what Jimmy Wayne finally did. What did Jimmy Wayne finally do? I think you, I believe you got all them Bibles out, or most of them. There, some
here's,
of them are around.
Yeah, here's one here.
Okay. Cross the river and unpack your bags. Unpack our bags. Can you identify with that right? Cross the river and unpack your bags. What's that mean? Well, when you cross the river, some of you in here know Jesus as Savior, but you'd say, I don't know if I'm really on fire for Him. I think I know Him, but maybe I'm not serious. I sat across the lunch table today from a man in midlife misery. He described his wife with words like stuck, rut, stalled out. But yet he's a Christian. He can tell you the day he escaped his Egypt, but he can't tell you the last time he defeated a temptation or experienced an unanswered prayer. 20 years into his fight, he fights the same battles he was fighting the day he came to Christ. He's out of Egypt, but Egypt's not out of him. He hadn't crossed his what? He hadn't crossed a river. He didn't say the words, but I could just sense the sentiment. Sentiment. I thought the Christian life would be better than this. He feels disengaged and discouraged. It's as if the door to spiritual growth is a lock and everyone else has a key but him. You ever feel that way, really? How come so-and-so does so well? I just don't. I've got good news for you today. He doesn't know whom to blame. Himself, the church, God. He doesn't know what to do. Change congregations, change Bible translations, slow down, reflect, get busy, work. He doesn't know. My friend's not alone in this wilderness he's in. The Reveal Research Project went on a search for Joshuas, those people that have crossed the river. Beginning in 2007, they surveyed the members of more than 1,000 churches. They wanted to determine the percentage of churchgoers who are actually propelled by their faith to love God, love others with their whole hearts. In other words, they have, I keep putting my phrase, Max will probably pay me for changing his book. That's good. We got to cross the river. You say, well, that's, how many people would be that? Or how many people would that fit? How many Christians would describe their days as glory days? As not hating getting up in the morning, as loving people, as knowing they're forgiven, living like they're already there? It might shock you. 11%. 11%? Nearly 9 out of 10 believers, in other words, languish in the wilderness. Saved? Yes. Empowered? No. They waste away in the worst of ways. In the land of in-between, out of Egypt, but not yet into Canaan. 11%. If a high school graduated only 11% of its students, good job. No, they wouldn't. If a hospital healed only 11% of its patients, if a baseball team only won 11% of its games, if a home builder completed only 11% of his projects, wouldn't changes be made? Yes, you bet. Joshua chapter 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Sittim and they went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, now I don't know, I'm older, but I read things and then hits me more. I don't know if I'd ever noticed that before. Early in the morning, Joshua and the Israelites set out from Sittim and they went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. Anybody remember that they camped? Raise your hand. They good? How long did they camp?
3 days. Now, be a Sherlock Holmes here with me. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. Here's the orders. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priest who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you'll know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards, about 9 to 10 football fields, between you and the ark. Don't go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do some amazing things. I pick up about 2 or 3 facts from that right there. I don't know if I'd ever noticed that before. They're going to cross the river, and they're going to finally and fully trust God. And here's what they're going to do. What me and you need to do. They're going to unpack their bags on the other side. Now, you said, do they literally have bags that unpack? Well, think of it like this. They're going to live like we're going to stay there. Can you rephrase that, anybody? We need to live like we're what? We're Christians. If somebody come by, Edgar, what are you doing? Just hanging ahead. Really? Yeah. We'll go there one day. Wow, you're already there. Yeah, I am. I'm already picturing it. How many of y'all do that? How many of y'all look forward to the weekend sometimes? You're already there. How many high schools say, I'm going to graduate in June? They're telling you that in September. How many of you say, you know what? On the first trip when I go to New Zealand, see, I'm already there.
You can hitchhike. I hear it tells me that's far away.
You ever look forward to something so much you can just about taste it? I guarantee you, whether it's a sports team or whatever, we're going to win that championship. We're going to win that. We are going to do that. It's already in front of you. I have a feeling that Nikki, when she's going to have Owen, you looking forward to having him? That's my baby. Expectant mom. Oh, I dread having this kid. He's going to be a terror. Oh, there he is. Oh, he kicked me for saying that. No, that's not true. That's not true. Oh, I'm going to have a baby. Tears running down her face. I think a woman's no more beautiful, never more beautiful than when she's pregnant. She's like, just a glow. Because she's got life in her. Well, guess what, guys? We got life in us. Jesus puts that life in me. I ought to just glow. There's something about you. I just asked Jesus in my heart. That's it. Wow, you're a changed person. I'm already there. Let me show you what these guys. Oh, this is easy then. Didn't say it was easy. I don't think I'd ever noticed this before. After 3 days, look at verse 2. After 3 days. They camped by a river for 3 days. Well, that sounds okay. What stage was the river in? So you lay down at nighttime. Here, tell we're going to cross it. I'd be scared to death. How much sleep you get? You can just hear that river roaring. And somebody comes by and says, it'll be okay. Yeah. I can't swim. I can't. It's okay. Or how about somebody? The elderly.
Wonder if I'm going to make it.
I don't know. You on your own. I can move. He starts to worry. Am I going to make it? The little kid. Mommy! You on your own. Little kids, adults, the fearful, for 3 days listen to that river. You say, can't quite identify that. Okay, go back to when you were a little kid and you're sitting there and go to sleep. Hear something on the wind, on the window. And it's a branch scratching glass, but there for a few minutes, it had you in another world. I laid down one night when I was about 8 or 9, whatever it was. I'd watch a German movie, probably. I looked up. There was a German standing in the door of my bedroom. He was huge. Got down and crawled across the floor. Got closer. He was a Machinusi's head. It just had disappeared at the top of the doorway. I could take him on. I reached closer. This is my daddy's old army jacket hung in the door. An army coat. And it was big and it was huge. And I thought, I thought that's a German coming to get me. Now don't sit there and act like you say I never get scared. When we were little kids, we'd go out to the car, get the groceries, okay. We got the groceries and we'd turn from here to the house. I'm not scared, I'm good. Yeah. You were running to the house, don't you lie. I was afraid somebody's behind the bushes out there. I mean, it's like they've done this for 3 days. They see all the stuff behind the bushes and they hear the fear and or see the fear, smell the fear. It's like, we've come out of Egypt only to do what? Joshua, not going to happen, not on my watch. General Joshua shows up. Joshua told the people, the country song reminded you to unpack your bags. He says, in a few days, you go unpack your bags. Really? You believe we're going to make it? Absolutely. Why? Because God said we would. Amen. God promised. And God's good at His promise. God says, John 14, for I go to prepare a place for you. For my Father's house, or what? Many mansions. And if you want to back that up, you'll get the verse that these guys need to know. John hadn't been written yet. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Don't worry, don't fear. That's what that verse says. Don't worry, don't fear. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll, what? Doubtless come again and get you and take you to where I am. That's Edgar Moser language. I got a place in heaven for you, Edgar. And to all those who trust you. Wow, okay. I'm going to heaven. Yeah. Suddenly, that's my state championship. That's the weekend. That's the thing I look forward to. And on the days, I'm just dirt, scum. That's it. The devil just heaps it. You notice the devil is a tempter and then he's the accuser. Come on, do it. Ha! Look at you. Thank you. That's what kind of friend he is. And he just heaps that worthlessness on us, doesn't he? Who are you? I'm a child of the King. And you will burn in hell one day and I will not. So take that to the bank. That used to defeat him. Doesn't anymore. Live like you're a child of the King. Last week we took a little trip. Let me just remind you this. We got on the school bus and went down the road. We went to a high school, walked inside the high school and found a scary thing. Trophy case was empty. No trophies. No victories. You say, that's me. Well, you've got to have at least one victory. I would hope, but okay, let's put you back on the bus. Take you to the next high school. Get out, walk up the steps, walk in the lobby, and there's their trophy case. Yeah, lots of trophies. Oh, not really, because once you start looking at them, they're old trophies. Now again, I'm thankful that my brother Tim, there's Dad, was on the first state championship team at Giles High School. That was in about 1963. They were state champions in cross country. They went down to Williamsburg, Virginia. And out of the top seven that finished that time, Tim said their starting five was in the top seven. If it wasn't for those two other people, wherever they're from, the Giles Five finished in the first five positions. But if you went into the Giles High School lobby and went over and picked up a trophy case, 1963 cross-country champions, and that was the only trophy in the case. How impressed are you? That's a state championship team, yeah, a million years ago. But then you keep looking at, oh, well, here's one, 1980 state championship football team. Here's one for 93 and runners-up in 96 and 2005 champions, 2006. We were actually state golf champs when 2004 or 5. So you start seeing more trophies, and some of them are in the last 12 decades. You know, it sort of makes it look good. But if all of them are old, that doesn't bring too much, does it? Okay. I want it to be a late victory, or a yesterday victory. So a spiritual illustration is this. Let's let trophies represent spiritual victories. The first high school, they didn't have any victories. None. That's sort of like a spiritual application. These people are lost. Why? Because this is the first victory you ever get. If you trust Jesus as Savior, this is the verse that applies to you. You'll get a crown of righteousness. You'll get a trophy, so to speak.
Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love His appearing.
If you're saved, you got one trophy in the case, I guarantee it. Now, we'd like to add a few more.
How about the second high school? They had a few trophies, but guess what? They were this. They were old. They weren't recent.
And if I said, when's the last time God blessed you? When's the last time God just... Well, let me tell you, the other day, I had a prayer time day for you, Thursday. I was just weeping. I didn't want to go to school. I was just sitting there, and I'm not patting me on the back. Please don't think that, but I'm just saying, you ever have a prayer day like that? You just don't leave. You say, God, it's like we're walking on Shekinah, you know, Shekinah glory shining down on holy ground here. Wow. I want that to be recent. Not well, about 4 years ago. Please don't do that. You just take off. Now, all of us has got a story that had to begin somewhere. Next. So, consider this. We want some recent trophies. Just review with you. We're going to make a spiritual application. Here it is. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you have no spiritual trophies. Today, if you say, I want to trust Jesus, first trophy into the case. But build on that one trophy and have these. If it's been a long time, seems like forever, since you've had spiritual victories, and it's time to update your trophy case. Let's get some wins today. You can say, Lord, I want to rededicate my life to You. I want to just dig in deeper. And you know what? I mess up a lot. But You forgive me. And I'm not taking You for granted. I'm taking You at Your word. And You do want me to ask forgiveness. And even though I don't feel like I deserve it, You say I do, so I'm going to trust You, not my feelings. I'm going to quit believing the devil who says, you're not worthy. You're this. I am worthy. I'm worthy enough. Whew. I'm worthy enough for You to die for.
Yes. Amen.
So I'll leave heaven, says Jesus, and I'll come down, and I'll take the bullet for You, so to speak. I'll step in front of You before You die. I will die on the cross so You won't have to. That's how worthy You are. And you say, well, I don't feel that good. Well, we're made worthy and righteous through Him. Don't misunderstand. But He left heaven for us. So here's what I want you to think about today. It really boils down to two questions. This is the first question. If you've never won any trophies, that means if you never asked Jesus to save you, I've got a two-word question. Why not? You say, well, Edgar, you're preaching at me. Well, I'm living up to the calling. Here's what the Bible says. If you've never asked Jesus to save you, let me just ask you a simple question. God says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, at just the right time I heard you, when you call today, He's going to hear you. At just the right time I heard you, on the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today's the day of salvation. The Bible says it this way in another verse. If you hear the voice of the Lord today, harden not your heart, for today is the day of salvation.
Yes.
This is it. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. Why are we putting off the best thing it ever... Y'all remind me of Pharaoh, you know, with the 10 plagues. Frogs jumping all over him. Blankets popping up down. They said they were in the kneading troughs. They were down the alleys or in the beds or in the... Oh, I'm about to go crazy. And Mrs. Pharaoh said, would you tell that Moses to get rid of these things? I'm going crazy. Yeah, that's a good idea. Frog sitting on his hand. Calls Moses to come in. Moses, you've got to do something about these frogs. My wife's about to divorce me and beat me and everything. We've got to get rid of them. Moses says, you name the time. And he said, okay. Tomorrow. Moses probably just shakes his head walking off. What a moron. I got the flu. Got when the doctor's office, yeah, I can give you a drug. It'll instantly cure you. Give it. I'll take it tomorrow. Wouldn't you take it right now? My heart. Go get the fib machine. Clear it. No. I'll get it in about an hour. You don't make sense. Today's the day. Can I put it off? You run the risk of getting harder in the heart if you do. There'll come a day that you can't.
If you've won trophies before, but it's been a long time since, and I would ask you this question, what happened? Apostle Paul wrote this to a church that he was growing there in Galatia. He said, you were doing so well. Who stopped you from being influenced by the truth? He planted a church. They were growing. He took off. The pastor was there. He come back to see him. Like, and they weren't doing anything hardly. And in our everyday life, he was just saying, man, you were running so well. What happened?
Well, I used to read the Bible, and I used to pray, and I used to... He said, stop it. I am reading the Bible. I am praying. We've got to kick that. We've got to change that right now. Quit living in the past.
Okay, so we got the binoculars, and we look over what the Hebrews did, and here's what we want to do. The three things that they did, and I don't know what area you're in. The phases of the Hebrew deployment was this. They left a place called Egypt. The Hebrews were slaves. We were once slaves to sin. Phase number two, they decided to leave Egypt. The Hebrews wandered around in the wilderness, though. We sometimes wander without direction. But then number three, phase number three, the Hebrews were home. They finally reached a place of victory in their lives.
Look in Joshua chapter 3. Verse 6, Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant, cross over ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today, not tomorrow, not next week, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priest who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Okay, when's this flood, watery river called the Jordan going to stop? When they're what? When their big toe goes in the water. We've been listening to this raging river for 3 days. We're scared. Joshua comes up. Get ready. We're going in the morning. I don't know if I can. You can do it. How can I do this? Okay, I'm going to give you a big old hint. The priests are going to pick up the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant is this gold box laden with gold. On the top is called the mercy seat, and the two angels at the top. And inside that ark are three things. Y'all Bible studiers, tell me what the three things were. The Ten Commandments.
Aaron's staff.
Aaron's staff. Showing leadership. And how did God provide for him?
Manna.
This ark represents God. Who is Joshua going to say goes first? God. Y'all get ready. God's going in the water first. God will always take you through stormy waters, but He's leading us. God does not take me up in the stomach. There you are, face deep in the water. No, He does. Hold it, Edgar. I got this. You good? Yeah. Wow. I'll always go before you. I'll always take care of you. Let that, makes me want to weep. He longs to take care of me. Well, He's not taking care of me. I'm aggravated. I'm this. He wants to take care of you if you'll let Him. The ark goes first. The priests are scared to death. Have to be. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that He will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, and as soon as the priest who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, the waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. There goes God. And we just drop in behind and we follow. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their big toe reached in their feet, boom, touched the water's edge, the waters from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap. Remember I told you I read stuff sometimes and I don't get it until I read it again. Here's another one. Not only is it at flood stage and they've been sitting there camping out by the stormy river for 3 days, but look at this. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. I don't know about you, but if you check it out, Adam's probably... Did you ever get the idea that you walk through the water and the waters were right here? These waters are a half mile up a road. Wow. We don't have to go through. Everybody slide. Water, water. Wow. Well, we got to take 2 million people across there. We've got to have a wide stream. Got a wide place in the stream. So, it's at flood stage. It piles up way up here. It piled up in a heap a great distance. You know why He took it away? I think scooted it back. Some people would have saw the water and still been scared. So He just almost removes it from sight. While the water flowing down the Sea of Eberah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. And the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground. They didn't go through with mud oozing up between their toes. This is dry ground, dust bowl, in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground.
Let's look at something right up here. It's a flood stage. You're scared to death. God's going to go before them. Remember my two questions? If you've never asked Jesus to forgive you and then save you, then you... why not? You need Him. Today's the day of salvation. If you're saved and you used to have victory and joy, then what happened? Today, I want us to be in this. Today, I want us to be the ones that cross the Jordan. Well, what's the Jordan again? Well, keep looking and I'll show you. What phase are you living in right now? Are you still a lost slave in Egypt? No, at least I know Jesus, but I keep wandering around. Well, let's see how the journey can be us. If we're going to cross this Jordan River, we have to do two things in order to start living victoriously. And guess what the two things are? Cross our river and do what? Unpack our bags. And unpacking our bags means quit carrying the stuff that's always tied you down. You can apply that so many ways. If you've always smoked, drank, potty mouth, cussed, whatever, we got to stop doing that. But how can I do that? Let God go before you and God work on those areas. You mean there's hope? Absolutely. Oh, and I hate to name anything because y'all know what you struggle with. I know what I struggle with. We've got to finally say, God, I'm tired of this. You take it. Maybe it's discouragement. Maybe we get defeated real easy. Maybe it's like, oh, I can't do this. I tried reading the Bible. I got through one chapter of Genesis. I've already quit. Wow, way to give it a good start. If your wife burned biscuits, would you ever eat again? Nope, Pat, you burned biscuits 12 years ago, and I'm tired of that. Well, what you're saying, I got to get over my fear. Yeah, we're going to the I don't know if I ever liked going to the... But after a while, when I was a little kid, I'd pull down my pants, he'd shoot me in the behind. Anybody, I'm old, I guess. They'd always give me a shot in the tail for some reason. I don't know why. I'd come in there, Dr. Tuck, need to see you. I know, I got a call. Yep, got it. Penicillin. Thanks, Doc. What's next? My brother Lanny would come over. Dr. Tuck would go around like this, the needle, Lanny. Right in the floor. He'd grab, Daddy would still, if Daddy was here, he'd tell me, he said, remember that time Lanny just grabbed a hold of his pants, Lanny's leg just slid right in the floor. It was easy to give him a shot. Because he's passed out. But what scares you? I fell asleep one time in the dentist chair when he was giving me a root canal. I just don't care anymore. You know, it's like, go ahead, take out the esophagus while you're... I mean, I don't care. I started getting nervous the other day teaching my after school class. I thought, Lord, what is this? How many times have you been doing this? Sorry. Okay, hope everybody's ready to go. We're going to tell a story today. I'll tell you a Max story. Can you do that? I do. And just go with the flow. Just make it like camp. Enjoy life. I can enjoy digging a ditch. I'm going to get a shot. Well, I'll be honest, I still don't love to give blood. Is that my blood? You're okay. I passed out one time just about giving blood. But that's because of my stupidity. Jenny was right here, and I was right there. Jenny's given about 80 gallon, I think. I've given 6. But anyway, they said, okay, y'all start at the same time. I thought, I can race. I took the little thing, the sponge thing, and I watched. You're gaining on me. I can see that bag's filling up. I watch this. I'm going to... I let go of so much blood, almost passed out, and they come down and put the little lounge chair back. They said, you all right? I don't think so. I was in a race with my wife to see... No, I better not tell them that. See who can give the most blood. I'm too competitive. Let's look at Joshua chapter 3. For 3 days they heard the what? Roar of the river. I'm scared. Scared of needles. Scared of this. Scared of that. I mean, maybe it's just me. You ever pray going in the doctor's office? Tell the truth. Yeah. You ever pray going to the dentist's office? God, I got this to do. I had to talk to a couple of students the other day, and I don't enjoy correcting people. Lord, let me come across in a good way, and then... Okay. Plenty of time to get scared. 3 days of... Wow. Here's the next one. They prepared themselves. He said, you know, remove any sinful things from around you. And I'll tell you what, they were just locked in on prayer. And then they stepped out in faith obedience. Who went before them? The ark. They knew the best was yet to come. They're going into the promised land. God goes before them. God is literally leading them into the promised land. They believed God would go before them, and they did, and there went the ark. They just had to trust and follow God.
Well, did they make it? Well, I think so. Absolutely. Does that just apply to them? Life has many unanswered questions, Max writes, but God's ability to save needn't be one of them. Let this issue be settled once for all. You know that you can be saved. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that you may know. Well, I'm guessing, I'm hoping, quit doing that today. From now on, you can know it. Well, I just don't know if I want to be saved. Well, then that's up to you. I can't twist it. The Holy Spirit's working on you, but I can't do any more than that. But once you get saved, look out. Let this issue be settled once and for all. Look at you. There's no mud on your sandals, no water on your robe. There's no sin on your record. Your guilt is no longer needing to be that. God's paid for your sins. Live like you're redeemed. Let there be no doubt in your heart. If God did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for all of us, will He not also give you all you need for a promised land life? Join the chorus of the confident and declare, I am convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate me from the love of God that's revealed in Christ Jesus. So rest in your redemption. The past is past. The future is bright. God's word is sure. His work is finished. You're a covenant partner with God, a full-fledged member of the Promised Land Development Program. The Jordan is behind you. Canaan is before you. A new season awaits you. Jimmy Wayne found a new season. He took his place in the family. He went on to get an education, found a career in country music, became a songwriter. His best days began when he did something, when he unpacked his bag and started saying, I am a part of this family. I don't need that suitcase anymore, do I? Okay, where are we at? Are we still wondering? Still got the bag. Well, here's my bag from my past. Put it down today. Unpack the bags. Not only does that get rid of the sin, the magazines, whatever it is, but it also shows that you say, I'm going to stay here. Anybody got a bag packed at their house right now? Why? I live here. I live in heaven. I just haven't got there yet. My citizenship's already there. God's already got the mailbox up. Edgar Moser.
Amen.
Wow. And see, I'm going to be real transparent with you here. The reason why I don't understand always, and you too, is that we just can't believe it's true. God, how could you love me? And I messed up 2 weeks ago. I've forgiven you. Well, I want to drag it up and unpack the bag. Well, God, I almost feel guilty, but if you've paid for all my sins, I don't have any to pay. Now you're finally understanding this. So live like you're... It's okay. Yeah. Quit feeling guilty. Quit feeling guilty for taking Him at His word. Quit feeling guilty that, don't I need to do something else? No. And when you do that, you'll take off and start living the promised land life. Take the bags, put them down, quit wandering, find your home. Next, consider this. A key item the Hebrews had to do was to unpack their bags, start looking at the promised land as their new home. They had to take God at His word. That's what I want you to do today. They had to quit wandering in their unbelief, start walking in obedience.
Yeah.
Lesson for us to start practicing is this today. We need to stop wandering aimlessly like a traveler and instead start walking straight with a purpose. I got this. I got that. And I am confident. And you'll start saying, yeah! Because confidence breeds confidence. Winning breeds winning. So stop living like you're homeless. Jenny says, I'll look that way, but stop living like you're homeless. And start living like you're in heaven. Now, that's going to call for an attitude change. You say, but I just mess up. Then just keep getting up. Keep getting up. I've got a story of a person that quit living the way they used to and started living the way they knew they needed to. Oh, everybody hears me talk all the time. Melanie, come here and read this story for me. Yeah. That's what you get for sitting close to the front row. She does a much better job than you. Read that story.
As many of you know, I went for years and years without going to church from when I was about 5 to about 40. My mom, who was such an amazing, strong, godly influence, passed away when I was 30. And I realize now that after all this, over the next several years, I began to drift away from praying every day and being close to God, to the point that I began to seriously question whether God even really existed. And Edgar started life for me. I admit I came at first mainly to support him, but being around other people who believe is so encouraging. I thought coming to church was what I needed to do for my kids, but after hearing Edgar speak and having God grab my heart so tightly that tears were running down my face, it wasn't long before I was coming to this church not just for Edgar, not just for the kids, but for me. I started reading the kids' Bible stories at night, and I started listening to Christian music stations and reading books that encouraged a Christian life, like Mason Cato's, Just Like Jesus. I found I wanted to saturate my life with that positive influence I felt at church. After almost a year, I came to realize that coming to church wasn't just that last box I had to check off for being a good Christian. It was just the beginning. God went from something I needed to do in my life to being the center of my life. My next major step was to start reading the Bible. Not just a devotion or a few verses here and there, but committing myself to reading the whole Bible. And at that time, I was 3/4 of the way there. To do that, I had to set aside a time every day, or at least every other day, that I made God my priority. My Bible reading time has to come before errands, before my to-do list, and it doesn't get done. At first, I was determined to plow through, determined to read the Bible in a year, but gradually I began to slow down and let things soak in, stopping at those verses that jump out and speak to me like they were written just for me, for just this time. I began stopping to pray when I got to the verses that touched my heart. Now I'll copy these down, even putting some on the door for the kids and myself to work on memorizing. And I have begun to pray for an open heart that I will be able to hear God whisper to me, be willing to respond when He puts the little things on my heart to do. Like writing a note to encourage someone, or inviting a neighbor to church, or helping someone I don't even know, or being more kind and forgiving to my husband. It took a while to realize that those little kind thoughts that flip through my head, that's not my brain intelligence, that's God nudging us. I just have to be quiet long enough to hear Him whisper through a Bible, whether through a Bible verse or a thought in the back of my head, and then be brave enough and obedient enough to follow through.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
I looked that up. That was like from 2012, I believe. Might have been 2011. What she did, she crossed the Jordan. You see, she came to that point, said enough's enough. And she came up here just for me, so I wouldn't talk to a bunch of empty chairs. They're not empty today. Got a few. We can still invite some more people.
Yes.
Have you had a time like that in your life? She said, okay, time to quit playing games. I haven't been in church for years, and I'm going to do it today. And so maybe time to cross the Jordan and unpack the bags. Whew. Got one other thing. I'm selfish today. Would you pray for Andy and Lindsay today?
Yes.
They're packing some bags. They're going to cross the Jordan. New surprise, new excitement. They're going to pack some bags to go there, but they're going to unpack the bags they left behind. They got some new adventures to put in the bag. That's okay. So pray for them that their visas would come this week and they can leave on God's timing. And I don't want them to go, but I need to pray that way. I'm in a win-win situation. If the visas come, hallelujah. If they don't, I'll get to still have them around me. But would you pray for them? Now I'm going to use that for an example. They're literally going to step out. They're going to cross the Jordan. It's sort of scary. They're scared. They're hearing the river roar right now. But guess what? God will go before them.
Yes.
God, let me get that door for you. Come on. And God's going to go with them. And God can go with you. So whether we're packing up the dreams God's planted, take them with us. Somebody here today needs a word of encouragement. We're going to cross the Jordan. We do this thing together. And then once we get there, I don't live out of a suitcase any longer. You know that term? I'm living out of a suitcase. Well, I'll live out of a suitcase when I'm in a hotel. This ain't no hotel, this is heaven. Quit living out of a suitcase. Start living like you belong. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I look around and I see the faces of people in front of me. Lord, some of them know you, and some may not. And some may have crossed the Jordan and be living in that 11% of the people that I mentioned before, that like they get up every day, they love to talk to you. If you took away their Bible, it would break their heart. They don't want you to stop speaking to them through your word. If you told them they couldn't pray, it would crush them. They would instantly know that something's wrong if they didn't have you every day as the center of their life, like Naomi wrote about. You know, Jesus, some of us just seem to wander around aimlessly. We're saved, but we wonder why so much goes wrong or why things hit us. But Lord, when things hit us and we're walking with you, we somehow are able to take it better. We somehow are able to say, Thy will be done. So Jesus, we need to be on the other side of the Jordan. We hear the roar of the river and it scares us. But yet, Jesus, you tell us to mount up. I'll go before you. I'll part things through things and have you follow me. And then unpack those bags because this promised land is yours. That's why I call it the promised land. I've promised it to you. Jesus, you have promised us the abundant life. You've promised us peace here on earth. So Lord, today we ask for it. Give us that joy that comes from knowing you. Help us to just be still and know that you're God. And speak to us even now. Lord, I ask you to touch our hearts as only you can in Jesus' name.